Welcome in. It is a game day here on the Green Zone. Jamie and I, Daryl Davis. Of course, the features from Britton Gray and our game day analyst, Belton Johnson, getting you ready for kickoff, scheduled right now for 7 o'clock at Mosaic Stadium. But, Daryl, as you remember, the last time they delayed an air because of air quality, which might actually happen tonight, it was about 15, 20 minutes into our pregame show when they declared that and told us we had to do an extra hour of radio.
We were good at it. We're pregame prep is the best in the business, I think, right? So we're capable of that, but it is tough. We talk to the players how they have to change things, and right now they're probably starting to worry about it because, what'd you say, Jamie, it's at 11? It's got to get below 8, right? 7.5 it's got to get to. So there's some doubt about whether this game's going to start on time. I'm always a little bit wary of what the TSN and the CFL get together and say, hey, it's clear, it's no problem. But there are weather indicators around that say, no, it's not, it's dangerous. And they are adhering to that. Good kudos to the CFL for doing it. But it's tough to play on days like today, Belton, isn't it? Just walking in here, you feel a little smoky.
Oh, feel a little smoky, a little warm out there. It just don't feel right, right? And just imagine what the players, they're probably, I don't think they will have anxiety or anything, but whenever there's a delay, I've always hated it because just your routine and everything, right? Just you're used to doing things a certain way and all right.
What is the
routine?
The creature of routine for a football player that they go, they have their meal. It seems like it's pretty regimented on when they want to eat in the gardens to when they kick off the football game.
So my routine and most of my O-line buddies like Wayne Smith and Jermise and those guys, what we would do is, the game starts at 7, right, the night. But we would get to the stadium, about 3 o'clock or so, and that was just to get the mindset ready, right? Just to relax a little bit and maybe go over some plays, talk of some things through. Then you start with the taping of the fingers, your ankles and everything. You start, getting your girdle and all that stuff on the pants because you don't want to put the jersey and the shoulder pads on just yet or anything, right? But just loosen up that kind of way. And by the time, 5, 6 o'clock, you might be, out on the field there warming up and everything. But again, if there's a delay, it's like, oh man, I didn't have to be here at 3 o'clock. You know what I mean?
So now.
It just, I don't know. For me, it just, oh, I hated that if there was ever a delay or anything.
Because recently wildfire smoke is, this is a newer thing that we're experiencing. But you've had thunderstorms. Mm-hmm. I think there was a game against Winnipeg that was delayed an hour or so because of thunderstorms.
It just wrecks the mentality. And
although, if I remember correctly, didn't Corey Holmes take the opening kick back on that one?
That might have been that one. Yeah, that's the truth. So sometimes it helps. So we make light a little bit of the smoke and everything. Obviously, mm-hmm. we're not the seriousness of the wildfires up north, and we appreciate the people who are fighting them and understand that it's a difficult task. And it's difficult to realize how dangerous this is for players and athletes. Even just walking around the streets is tough. And as you said, Belton, the athletes, how heavy they're breathing. Think of those poor firefighters and what they have to inhale, right? Man. A lot of them do get to wear masks, mm-hmm. obviously, but you can't do that playing football. Mm-hmm. So you have to keep this game safe. We talk about head hits. We talk about leg injuries and everything. Your lungs are pretty important too, obviously. So this is a big thing. And it's one of the hardships we have to go through, but we don't have it nearly as bad as the firefighters do who are saving our wild forests as much as they can.
So we'll keep you up to date. If there's any update, we are in correspondence right now with the Canadian Football League and the Rough Riders. If there's any delay, we will pass that along to you. But let's get to this football game, the Back 40 Bash tonight. It is the Riders and the Calgary Stampeders, the 3-1 Stamps, the 4-0 Rough Riders. Belton, mm-hmm. what are you looking forward to in tonight's game?
Oh, man, ever since this morning, Greg Morgan there, he played that clip where Coach Mace was saying this is going to be a battle or a war or something. So, and he's right. I'm looking forward to the trenches, right? The O-line, the D-line, you got the Stampeders D line or the defense in general. What they only average or only allow what 20 points?
21, yeah, about that.
Right, and then you got the Rider offense who scores about 29 to 30 points a game. So to me, that's, you know, when you got those close margins like that, that makes for an interesting game. And don't forget, the Stamps, they're 3-1, Riders 4-0, and I just think first place is on the line. So give me some running the ball. Like, I want to see that mullet fly all night long. I want to see it leaping and everything, man.
We'll get into that. The run game, Dedrick Mills is a pretty good running back, too. So that'll be in our bold predictions. But, of course, one of the other big storylines is he is back at starting quarterback. He almost played against the BC Lions. Of course, that is Trevor Harris.
Never fun sitting out, but no matter what role you play, you want to play to the best of your ability and, you know, make sure you demonstrate, you know, leadership is, you know, often just influence, and you want to be able to, you know, handle every situation well. And after the shouting match with the Docs last week, I settled down and, you know, found the role that I was being asked to play, and just glad we were able to get a win, and the guys were great.
This Calgary defense has essentially been rebuilt. They brought in a ton of new faces. They're gelling early. Is it different to prepare for a group like that that's almost completely new than looking back at years of playing kind of the same defense?
Early on in the season, I'd say, yeah, but now you've got 5 weeks, 4 weeks of film. You know who they are in a nutshell. But every week, every defense is going to show you different looks. I think if you only do what you do on film, you know, that doesn't happen very often. They're going to give us certain things that we haven't seen before, and we'll do the same to them. And it's always a chess match of football. You know, obviously when you watch it, you're just like, man, terrible throw. But like sometimes, you know, they show things and make you want to think it's a little bit of a, you know, chess match as you go on. And so it'll be a fun test tomorrow. But I think it's one of those games where, you know, you get excited for as a fan, and you're sure as heck just excited as a player, especially, you know, that we're here at Mosaic, and I know the fans will be out loud and proud tomorrow.
Yes, Daryl, this has all the makings of a West Division battle. Nobody expected that with the Stampeders this early, though.
Not really. We were all, if you asked us how Calgary was going to finish this year, we said probably near the bottom. We didn't expect their defense to be this strong, and that was Britton Gray's question, and it's true. It's a rebuilt, a whole new look from that Calgary defense, having Vernon Adams Jr. as their new quarterback, right? Up, down, he has some of the world's best games and some of the world's worst games all within the same season. So very unpredictable, but as Belton said, the winner moves into first place here, and that's automatic excitement. You got the league's highest scoring offense against the league's stingiest defense. Lots of good drama, lots of good plays in here, lots of good subplots, and that's what I like. I want to see two hard-hitting football teams going at this. Belton, as you talked about, and as Corey Mace, the head coach, talked about, in the trenches, this one, we don't see it all the time, but that's where most games are won. This one, that's where this game is going to be won.
Yes, indeed. But there is the injury bug again. No Trevion Tate, offensive lineman. He's out. Zach Fry will come in. No Thomas Bertrand Hudon. He's out. Kadeem Carey comes in. You're shrugging this up.
Man, come on, Jamie. They're good to go, man. Don't come with the injured talk.
Tavon Campbell's out. Antoine Brooks Jr.
That's an interesting one, Belton. There's your corner who's picked off pick six and playing that wide side of the field. And Antoine Brooks, who's never started there in the Canadian Football League, gets his first start. Don't you think that's a weakness?
I do. Like, I hate to say it, but I do. Just, I don't know, something about the secondary and everything. The secondary guys are kind of like the O-line guys, right? That, you know, you build that chemistry, you know, the secondary guys, they build chemistry, you know, and that I'm like, they haven't had nobody else to come in and play until right now. So if I'm the Stampeders quarterback, Vernon Adams Jr., I'm probably licking my chops like, oh, they got a new guy over here. Maybe we're going to run a couple things, you know, differently. Right. So yes,
that's an injury.
That was the one thing I saw here, Darryl, was Brooks Jr. there.
But he goes up against a young Canadian and Damian Alford, who's never started before in the Canadian Football League.
They'll switch guys around to try to pick on them to see what they can do. We've always been worried about the offensive line. Once again, this offensive line, the Riders loses a starter, and you just seem to think, Edwin Harrison, the great coach of the offensive line, seems to find ways to punch these guys in, put them into place. And they've been among the league leaders in sacks allowed, Running the running game is one of the best in the league too. So the job they do, remember 2 years ago, we're going, what an offensive line. What's going on here? They lose guys, can't replace them. Now they lose guys, and you say, how do they keep replacing them? It's an amazing job that they've done.
It absolutely is, and we'll hear more about an offensive lineman coming up next. All or Nothing, Britton Gray, featuring the biggest man of them all, Jermarcus Hardrick, next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show. As of now, they have not announced any rescheduling of kickoff for 7 o'clock, the Riders and the Stampeders, but air quality is still an issue in Regina. But as we continue, it's time for Britton Gray's All or Nothing, as he focuses in on almost exactly a year ago was when the Riders lost Jermarcus Hardrick for the season. But he's back, and don't think for a second an injury would slow him down.
Jermarcus Hardrick is not only one of the biggest players on the field, but also one of the biggest inspirations to his teammates and fans off of it. Sometimes that also includes literally picking them up after they score a touchdown. He did that to quarterback Jake Mayer in a win over the Lions.
Hardrick is one of one in terms of teammates. I didn't know how long I was going to be carried there, and it was not planned. So as surprised as you guys might be, I was also very surprised, but I loved it.
Hardrick says he preaches celebrating with your teammates.
I know, he kept saying put him down, but I just wanted to love on a little bit more. Nothing personal, just loving on your teammates.
So who is to credit for Hardrick becoming one of these great players and humans in the CFL? That would be his mom, Dolores.
She was my mom and my dad. She was the rock for sure. She was strong on me. She was definitely hard on me, but she loved me harder than she was hard on me. I seen her cry a lot of times, and I seen the lights off, I seen the light candles, but I always seen food on the table, I always had clothes on my back. She showed me how to work without even talking. She didn't do a lot of talking and showing a lot of love with her words, but she showed a lot of love and showed a lot of hard work, and I seen her go to those 2 and 3 jobs a day.
Hardrick would play his college football with the Nebraska Cornhuskers, an entirely different place than where he grew up.
I grew up in a small town, and it's a little, I wouldn't say racial, but people stay on their side, we stay on our side. We got to Nebraska, it was just like I was a person, I wasn't a color. And they showed me how to work hard. They showed me, just exposed me way more than the trailer park lifestyle, and forever grateful, and I still live there.
That football journey eventually brought him to the CFL. He really found his stride in the league when he joined the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in 2016. There, he went on to become regarded as one of the best O-linemen in the league, and he's now a multi-time Grey Cup champion.
You almost go blank. You see the confetti come down. Your teammates grab me. You'll see my wife, see my kids cry. You think about the off-season workout you put in, and, oh, man, winning the Grey Cup is one of the best feelings I have besides getting married and having kids.
He joined the Riders last season, but had to overcome a new hurdle, a serious injury that forced him to miss most of his season.
That was the first time I ever had a season-ending injury. Oh, man, just hard, just not being able to do things myself, having to ask for help, being vulnerable, being able to see it from the outside in, just seeing how the little things that I missed, the practices, the getting ready, made me love football even more because I missed it and almost like felt the end of it. I almost like felt like I bit off the end of it, and just to have a chance to come back, just going to give them all.
Now he's back on the field, and not only a major reason for the right side of the offensive line playing well, but the left as well, as he has turned into a mentor for second-year pro Daniel Johnson.
I feel like he's a guy I've been learning the most from, and, you know, I intend to pick everything from him, you know what I mean? Like you guys have seen what he's done, and I feel like he's a great role model for me to have in the room. And as soon as I got here, Coach Ed was like, that's the guy you should look up to, that's the guy you should learn from, and that's what I've been doing for the past year. So I'm going to keep on doing it as long as he's right there with me. And he's been helping me, texting me every day, all that, man. Like, so it's great. So as long as I have a leader like that, I'm going to keep on getting better and do my best to continue to get better.
And it means a lot to Hardrick that so many have embraced him in this role.
But I'm trying to do my best. I got a lot of leaders. I definitely didn't get here by myself. I have great friends, great family, great coaches here. I definitely didn't do it by myself, and what it means to me is just, I don't want to mess up, man. I want to do everything right, and I definitely won't be perfect, but it means, it comes, it's special, man, when somebody said they'll look up to you, want to take pictures with you, and makes you want to be right all the time.
For the Green Zone, I'm Britton Gray.
That is the story of Jermarcus Hardrick. Well done from Britton Gray on one of the fan favorites, and grew up right near our very own Belton Johnson. Different era, of course, by a decade or so, but his neck of the woods is pretty well the similar neck of the woods you grew up in, Belton.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly his town, his hometown, Cortland, Mississippi, right about, 15 minutes away from my hometown. And, you know, when he mentioned the trailer park, I'm pretty sure I know the area where he lives and everything back then.
And
They grow a lot of big offensive linemen around there.
Hey, Mississippi, we got big people out there.
two Johnsons and a Hardrick, more specifically, with Belton and his brother Marcus. Really? And Jermarcus Hardrick, now the Rough Riders. Coming up next, we'll talk to a former Rough Rider, now holding down the Sam linebacker spot for the Calgary Stampeders when we go behind enemy lines with almost a guy who's now from Saskatchewan, I guess you could say. Derek Moncrief on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome into the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson. Yes, we are keeping an eye on the air quality. Daryl and I were just looking at the map. I was looking at Moose Jaw because Moose Jaw is about 45 minutes away from Regina. Moose Jaw was at the same air quality as Regina. Like, it was 13, 14. They went from a 13 to a 6 in 30 minutes from 4:40 to 5 o'clock. Or quarter after five, it went from a 13 to a 6. Like, woof.
All right. Can we move everybody to Moose Jaw?
But you'd expect that similar system is going to start to move out of Regina maybe as quickly, but we'll keep you up to date. Right now, no word yet from the CFL or the Riders on a potential delay. We will let you know if and when that happens, but if you're looking at Moose Jaw for an example, that is how quickly as we've experienced in the preseason game too, it cleared up real quick going into kickoff. But right now, we're going to take you to Calgary behind enemy lines.
Peeking over the sidelines and sneaking into enemy territory.
Our man is behind enemy lines.
This is Behind Enemy Lines.
And this week, I got to chat with former Rough Rider Derek Moncrief. Of course, if you follow him on Instagram, yesterday there was a welcome home daddy sign outside his house, as he does live in Regina with his family of two girls, of course, and his lovely wife. But I wanted to talk to Derek first about what it was like against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers to finally find the end zone.
Long time coming, man. It felt great, man. It felt great to get out there in front of the home crowd and, you know, just the hard work and dedication over the years, man. It felt great.
Oh, so you keep the ball for one of the kids or what happened to it?
Oh, yeah. It's in my locker right now. It's going to the man cave.
Derek, what has this new lease on your football life meant to you that Dave Dickinson gave you a ring to bring you to Calgary?
Man, it means everything, you know. Just a fresh start, really, you know what I mean? And I'm just grateful for the opportunity because last year, man, I didn't get to Edmonton until, like, July. And I'm just very appreciative of the moment right now. I'm just trying to grasp it and try to lead the guys to a great cup.
What was the conversation like this offseason? Was there a question on whether or not that was it, Derek, with the family? Or how soon did you realize that there might be some interest elsewhere?
Well, I knew. Me and my agent was talking about it, and they said they needed my leadership here. And you know, I'm a locker room guy. Other than my on the field things, I bring a lot of different qualities to the locker room, and my leadership sticks out. And that's what I wanted to do, to bring a championship mindset to this organization.
How important do you think it was with your experience working with Craig Dickinson in Saskatchewan over those last couple of years?
Man, it was great. It's great to, you know, because it's somebody's always watching you. You know, for me, being a pro each and every day, he's seen that ever since he's seen my growth as a rookie. When I came in, he was my special teams coordinator, and then he turned to my head coach, what, 2 years later, and, you know, me coming back to the CFL after that, and it was great, man. So, you know, I just developed a great relationship with him.
There's no question there's a lot of new in Calgary this year, a lot of change.
Yeah.
But you've started 3-1. How have you made that happen where there hasn't been that slow start trying to get to know each other and gel?
Well, I just got you got a lot of veteran guys. You got a lot of veteran guys that played a lot of football games, guys that do it the right way. And we got some young, hungry guys, and they guys that listen. They're very attentive to the details. And I think just the older guys leading by an example each and every day, putting the work in, and, you know, not getting complacent. Whether we win or lose or in between, we just got to come to work every day. And that's what we've been doing, just trying to grow in the team camaraderie instead of all-time high.
So how good does it feel right now that this group is 3-1? Like, how much does that kind of reassure you that everybody is doing it the right way in Calgary?
Feels great. It feels great. But like the late Kobe Bryant said, man, job's not finished. We got a long way to go in a short time to get there. So we just got to stack the chips like we did today on this day two, day three tomorrow, and we got to get ready for Friday night.
Oh, what's it like for you personally, before we get to the team, to play in Saskatchewan? Because this is kind of home for you now with the family.
Oh man, it's it means everything. Coming back, you know, coming back to Mosaic, where I know the crowd is going to be electric. I can't wait. I'm excited for the opportunity, but, you know, I just try to focus in, man. I try not to make it all about me. It's all about the teammates. It's all about the process of winning this football game.
So when you land on Thursday, Kirby's not going to make you wash cars or anything before the game on Friday?
Oh, no. We're just going to hang out and have the guys over. We're going to have a little dinner at my house and get ready for the game. That's about it.
What are you seeing on film, Derek, when you flip things on for the green and white so far, an undefeated team you're matching up against on Friday?
Man, it stands out. Those guys' physicality in the trenches, great running game. AJ, you got Trevor right there, man, one of the all-time great quarterbacks. Guys on the edges making plays, and their defense, man, they're trouble, and they're special teams, too. They're a great three-phase team, and we are, too, but we just got to execute better, and we can't wait to do it Friday night.
Well, when you go up against a team like Winnipeg and hand it to them pretty good, how much does that lift going, no, we belong here? This ain't no fluke that we're 3-1, and why not give the Riders their first loss as well a week later?
Well, you know, that was a great win for us mentally, and you know, it gives guys a boost. But we understand that every game is different, and we got to come into this game. Those guys are coming off a bye week; they're well prepared, they're fresh, and we just got to be ready to make the first blow. And it's going to be an electric crowd, but we can't wait for it.
Well, this is your first time experiencing Dave Dickinson. And the Calgary way, successful for so many years, kind of a lull the last two. But what are you learning about how Dave was so successful for so long, being in the room with him every day?
Man, just his preparation. You can tell he was a quarterback. Just the small little intricate details that go from day to day. He's very detail-oriented. And I love that coming from a head coach. That's what you need. That's what pushes a team. Whether you're doing great or good or bad, he's going to let you know that we can always get better. And that's what it's all about, just a little intricate details. And I'm just loving it right now.
I'm interested, Derek. Who are you most looking forward to, you know, shaking hands with before kickoff from your old mates in Saskatchewan?
Oh, man. My guy, Larry Dean, man. Larry Dean, the legendary Larry Dean, man. He helped with my career so much. I remember us watching film early mornings and talking about the game. We always talk now. He'll watch me and tell me, you made some good plays, but you left a couple out there. So just that guy right there, man, he's like a brother to me, and I can't wait to see him.
I'm also curious about the rise of Roland Milligan Jr., who you got to know a little bit in his early career. What have you seen from now a defensive player of the year in his growth?
Oh, man, Ro is amazing. Actually, me and Ro, we got even closer. We talk all the time and stuff like that. And that guy there, man, he's a hard worker. I knew that when we first started working together, seeing him in training camp and a couple years ago all the way until now. Just his attention to the details, putting the work in after, before and after practice, man. I'm so proud of him, man. Very proud of him.
And you got a couple of Rider fans wearing red this weekend, I imagine, Derek?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be like a home game for me. You got red everywhere.
That is Derek Moncrief, a former Rough Rider, of course, now lives in Regina with his young family. And every so often, maybe you'll see him over at Sud's Car Wash, too. But the game is officially delayed, as the CFL has announced a 7:45 kickoff. Warm-ups will start just after 7 o'clock, so there will be a delay of at least 45 minutes. They'll continue to monitor, of course, the air quality in Regina, but they're expecting it within the next hour to start to clear up in Regina, as I mentioned, as it did over a half an hour in Moose Jaw, just to the west of Regina. So if you're heading to the game, maybe you're running behind, maybe you got a little extra time now to get ready for the Riders and the Calgary Stampeders at Mosaic Stadium. Again, a 45-minute delay right now with the Riders and the Stamps. Kickoff 7:45 with the warm-up starting just past 7 o'clock. So that means we have extra time to eat whatever Belton has over there for... Yeah. A tailgating tip. That's coming up also inside the green and white, a feature with Britton Gray, and might hear Daryl Davis's voice too with Antoine Brooks Jr. of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, all leading up to kickoff now 2 hours away on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and I, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson. It is a Rider game day, and sometimes good things you just have to wait a little bit longer for, as you will for kickoff tonight. The CFL and the CFL Players Association, in accordance with the weather policy, have delayed kickoff 45 minutes. So 7:45 is kickoff. With conversation on the forecasting and everything else.
Yeah. Hey, you get 45 minutes of us.
Exactly. You just get more of the green zone. That's all good.
Well, it always is.
And think about it, too. With people probably coming in town, right? I'm sure is there blockage or anything with people coming in?
Oh, with traffic? Yeah, a little extra time to get through the traffic.
Relax.
Luke Wilson's in town. He's already commented on the... commented on the 11th Avenue construction in downtown, asking what the heck's going on. Uh-huh.
That traffic.
Yeah. Oh, the traffic's still.
Tell me about it, Derek. Tell us about it again.
Isn't that amazing? They're the dumbest city in the world, hey? Two out of the three main thoroughfares.
Let them all go there. Yeah,
I told Luke the person who planned doing Dudney and 11th at the same time might be the same person in charge of the Gardner Expressway in downtown Toronto. Yeah.
Boy.
Then they should be out of a job again.
So they are expecting the air quality to improve, as they say, drastically. Meanwhile, a few things. I know a lot of people take Rider Transit. Maybe you're heading home to go park the car. Rider Transit will run up until the new delayed kickoff time. So whenever you catch that bus ahead of kickoff, that bus will still be rolling closer to the new 7:45 kickoff, as it normally would for a 7 o'clock kickoff. The party in the park, of course, is closed right now. But they are saying $5 beer extended until 7:15.
Okay.
Oh, man.
I figured that was coming. I just got an email from the Riders telling me that the kickoff was delayed, so they're staying up to date with everybody.
So that is the update on a little bit of air quality issue once again in Regina, but it's expected to improve throughout the afternoon and into the evening ahead of the now 7:45 kickoff between the Riders and the Calgary Stampeders. We haven't got a bold prediction question in yet, fellas.
Oh, yeah.
And I gave you no warning this time because I'm tired of Daryl winning.
I need to know where I sit, Jamie, because this is an important week here for me, I'm pretty sure.
It's not a first place matchup in this one, Belton.
You're at 22.
Okay,
I'm at 29, and Daryl's at 37. First question has to do
7.5 air quality index.
With
that's not the answer? Okay.
The running backs. Ooh. Of course, two of the best running teams in the Canadian Football League are the Rough Riders and the Calgary Stampeders. So this is what we are predicting on Bold Predictions. Of course, this is how it works. We do the predictions in the post-game show. We recap how well we did. We get points. Daryl is kicking our tail right now, but it's a long season. We're planning on doing this right up until the Grey Cup game in November.
Ooh, that's a bold prediction.
It's on the board for Belton, 13-5 in a Grey Cup from Belton. He put that June 2nd on the board with our prediction board here on the Green Zone.
Any changes to that, Belton? You still good with that?
I'm still good with it.
I think he's more confident. Who's going to beat them five times?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
But this is what I want. Saskatchewan total carries. So that includes a Trevor Harris or a Tommy Stevens run. So total carries.
Trevor Harris carry? What's that?
He's gotten one this year.
Yeah, I know he does. Yeah, he's got like always the longest carry of the year, the longest average of the year.
Yeah,
right? Because he always averages about 8 yards.
So Saskatchewan carries, Saskatchewan rushing yards, Calgary carries, Calgary rushing yards. But also, I have an individual question around Kadeem Carey and just his individual carries. But they will be included in the Saskatchewan total as well. But I'm just curious because he played the one game, he only got 4 carries.
Mm-hmm.
But he's had a lot more practice time. So. Mm-hmm. But AJ Ouellette's the leading rusher in the league. A lot to consider on bold predictions. Should we make Daryl start?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Saskatchewan carries, Daryl. As a team.
22.
How many yards rushing?
135.
How many Kadeem Carey individual carries will he get?
5.
And Calgary's total team carries and total yards?
Well, I think they'll be less because I think the Riders will be leading. So 18.
18? And how many yards?
95.
Mm.
Do you want me to go and you go last, Belton? What are you thinking?
That would be perfect.
Yep.
Okay. Saskatchewan carries 25, 150 yards. Kadeem Carey will get, well, you said 5. That's about where I was going to go. So I'll take the under at 4. Calgary carries, I think they'll get to like 21 and 110 yards rushing for Cal. Because Vernon Adams might have to scramble a little bit tonight. Belton, what do you got?
All right, I think I'm going to have to get skinny and squeeze in between the carries. What, Daryl, 22.
2 and me at 25.
So let's go 24.
24. How many yards?
For the Riders, I'm going to say 127.
Kadeem Carey, how many carries will he have?
I'm going to go 6.
Pinch Daryl right in the middle. Calgary Stampeders, how many carries? Daryl said 18. I said 21.
Oh, man. See, I now want to go back in the middle there again. Let's go 20.
And how many yards? Daryl said 95. I said 110.
110. I'm going to go, let's go 90.
All righty.
I'm going to take the low end on that.
We'll see where it goes. So it's the number one rushing defense are the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Stampeders don't stop the run all that well. We'll keep it going here on the Green Zone pregame show. We have more bold predictions coming up. Of course, we whatever's in that container, Belton, as the smell in here continues.
A good smell, right?
Oh, yeah, my okay. goodness. Oh,
Britton Gray left happy. He came in and dipped his fingers.
Oh, did he get one?
He got one.
No, see, I was trying to delay tailgating tip, too, so Britton didn't get anything.
Good try. Britton knew.
It's bacon. You know, it's I like bacon, right?
It's got bacon in it.
I already told you.
Britton can smell bacon from out in the street before the doors are closed.
So we'll get to Belton Johnson's Who's Going to Eat tailgating tip coming up. Of course, we still got time for the coach's chair inside the green and white and a lot more ahead of the now scheduled 7:45 kickoff at Mosaic Stadium. Warm-ups around 7:10 is the schedule. Rider Transit will be going right up until the new kickoff as well if you take Rider Transit, which is probably the best with the traffic in this city. Of Regina. More coming up here on the Green Zone pregame show as the Riders at 4-0 take on the 3-1 Calgary Stampeders to kick off week 6 of the CFL. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.